Joining us in the studio right now
about where we come from.
Is community organizer Manuela Arciniegas from Sustainable South Bronx to tell us a little bit about their Green the Ghetto Bus Tour. Manuela, hey, what's up?
Hi, how's everyone doing today?
Good. Do you want to tell us a little about what Sustainable South Bronx is first?
Sure. Sustainable South Bronx is a community-based organization dedicated to implementing sustainable development projects that are consistent with the values of environmental justice and are positive for our communities.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about the bus tour that's coming up, the Green the Ghetto Tour?
Yeah, we're very excited about this bus tour. It was planned and coordinated by community residents who've never been involved in community organizations before. So this is definitely a learning experience for them. And the bus tour is going to make 8 stops on the along the tour. We will be visiting Port Morris, Hunts Point, and a number of other different neighborhoods in the South Bronx. We will look at 12 different sites that will be toxic facilities, polluting facilities, but also what we call greener ghetto opportunities. Basically, great places that are looking at developing solutions that are sustainable and are healthy for our community. So we're looking at both sides of the coin.
That's excellent. And can you tell us what those 2 dates are when you're going to have the bus tours before we get further into discussing it?
Sure. Everyone is invited. It's November 22nd. That's a Saturday from 12 to 3. We will be offering a picnic lunch on Tiffany Street Pier as well by the river. So that should be a beautiful intermission. And then the second date is Saturday, December 13th from 12 to 3 as well. It's $5 suggested donation, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds.
Manuela, before you go into the different stops on the Green the Ghetto Toxic Tour, can you tell us a little bit about the history of SSB's work and kind of what the impetus was for this tour? What do you think is going to be the overall benefit of this type of educational tour?
Well, there's something really interesting and positive happening in the South Bronx right now. For the first time in many years, different community groups located in Longwood, in Port Morris, in Hunts Point, are actually working together to solve this long history of environmental racism that has burdened our communities. The South Bronx historically has been the dumping ground for New York City. It has housed the most polluting, most toxic facilities, manufacturing companies, and a number of trucks, bus depots, and a host of other environmental conditions that really make it a difficult place to live. So it's been a long time since we've been the backyard for the city. And this time around, I think that community residents are feeling really strong in exclaiming to New York City, we're not going to take it anymore. We're really looking at turning our neighborhood into a greener, healthier space. We don't have any parks. We have high rates of asthma and diseases, and it has everything to do with our neighbors and the companies that are housed here. And so we're looking forward to creating a greener ghetto. That's the vision we're all trying to implement. So,
do you want to highlight a particular site for us?
Sure. We have a number of sites on the tour, as I mentioned before, but one of the biggest ones that is definitely burdening us is NYAFCO, New York Organic Fertilizer Company. NYAFCO processes 70% of the city's sewage sludge. So everything you flush down the toilet, or when you wash your hair and you use your Pantene's and your Revlon's, all those chemicals go into this water that's called sludge. It's treated at the city's 14 wastewater treatment plants, and then the sludge that comes out of it comes directly to Hunts Point, the South Bronx. When it gets to the Bronx, it's traveled in by trucks. So as you guys know, we have a high amount of truck traffic, which emits diesel that's very harmful and triggers asthma for our communities. So these trucks bring in the sludge. NYAFCO then burns it through a really intense chemical process. And during that, throughout that process, what they do is emit a really foul odor. This odor spans at least a mile radius. People in our communities can smell this odor every day. We've been smelling it since the company opened 10 years ago. And it was definitely at its peak in 1996. But yet still, we're experiencing the burden of this smell, as well as the toxins that come out of it. So while we're at NYAFCO, we have this sludge being burned into pellets, which are then sold to farmers as fertilizer for the crops and in the farms that make the food that we eat that then comes back to Hunts Point through the Hunts Point Market. The Hunts Point Market actually is a distributor for almost 60% of the city's goods, fruits and vegetables. And then right there, side by side next to Hunts Point, we have the sludge, we have the food that we eat, and it's all a very dangerous cycle. The EPA has not actually been able to confirm that this biosolids pelletizing process and these fertilizers are actually healthy for crops. That's still a big question out there for a number of scientists that are community-minded. And so we're dealing with the stink every day. It gets so bad people can't open their windows during the summer. The elders at Irmacava houses often exclaim that they don't have money enough to pay for air conditioner, but they can't open the windows because it smells so bad. And this is just a daily fact in our community.
In this context, can you talk a little bit about environmental racism and the idea of not in my backyard, NIMBY, that often comes along with opening a plant like this anywhere?
Well, as a lot of folks already know, and if you don't, I'm sure that if you take a look around you, look at how many trucks run through your neighborhood. Look at what are the bus depots that are there. Look at what are the factories that make it smell, the refineries, a number of other companies such as these. If you really think about it, oftentimes there are what's called environmental justice communities. Usually they are low-income people of color communities, not exclusively people of color, because you'll find environmental justice communities in Appalachian white communities all over the globe. And what happens is when a wealthy, politically strong community has garbage they need to process, has stuff they need to burn, has chemicals they need to make, all of the world operates this way. We're an industrial society. The problem is that these factories, these operations often go to the least politically protected communities, the communities that don't have political power, that are often lower class, that don't have politicians often defending them. And so all of these companies come to the same place. When one community says, not in my backyard, for example, the Upper West Side does not have its own trash transfer station, right? There's one in 125th Street. And that's in Harlem. And then everything else goes uptown from there. When that community says, I don't want to deal with this trash, I don't want to deal with this waste, it comes to Hunts Point, it goes to Bushwick, it goes to Washington Heights in Harlem, it goes to El Barrio, Spanish Harlem. And that those communities get overburdened. So like we said, 70% of the city's sludge goes to Hunts Point. And the Bronx only makes 29% of that. If every borough practiced borough self-sufficiency, which is a concept that the Organization of Waterfront Neighborhoods, a coalition of community groups, are proposing for New York, everybody handle your own. No one likes to deal with the smell. No one likes to deal with trash, but we all make it. Why should it all go to the same little peninsula of 10,000 people, 67% of which are Latino? The other 23% are Black. Why should we do that?
Right, and also I wanted to mention that NYAFCO is located near PS 48, which is an elementary school.
That's right.
And can you tell us a little bit about some of the complaints that have been coming from the students who attend school there?
Absolutely. I have some data from 1998 that was given to us and to South Bronx Clean Air Coalition, another member group in the South Bronx for Clean Air. Conglomeration of groups. And PS 48 has approximately 1,200 kids. About 300 of those children developed asthma and breathing related problems since NYAFCO has opened its doors. The Bronx overall has a death rate of 121 people a year who die of asthma, and the hospitalization rate for every 1,000 people is 17 people. So you can just think, 2 people a week die of asthma in the Bronx. So the kids in PS 48 often complain. They complain a lot. They're kids. But they complain for very good reasons. They have asthma. They can't study. They can't concentrate. They get dizzy. They get nauseous. They have behavior problems. That's something that the teachers complain about. And we all know that NYAFCO emits volatile organic compounds and dioxin. Dioxin has been known to cause cancer, birth defects, learning disabilities, reduced intelligence, and hyperactive behavior in children, which would obviously make it hard for them to learn. They're already facing a tough situation as low-income kids in low-income communities with limited resources in the public school system. And so when they have to deal with these smells, when they can't go outside and play because it smells so bad and they're all dizzy, when they have to do a math problem and they can't concentrate, and NYAFCO is blowing its emissions downwind just a few feet from their school, these all create a difficult situation for kids.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up in just a minute, but you can maybe tell listeners one more time the details of the bus tours and why they might want to turn out to learn about the South Bronx and how that might also be relevant to their communities.
Whatever the South Bronx faces is a citywide problem. It's a nationwide problem. Until we figure out what we're going to do about our waste, until we figure out how to use alternative fuels, until we figure out what to do with all of this sludge, it will all come down to one community. And we could fight to put it somewhere else, and it's just going to be on another community. So this is a collective problem. We all need to find a solution to it. Come on the tour. You'll get to learn about all of the different factors that make it difficult. Open space, waterfront, air quality, parks. We'll be visiting the river. We'll be having a picnic there. We'll just be hanging out. It'll be including poetry. It'll include a lot of multimedia to kind of get people open to learn. Saturday, November 22nd, 12 to 3. Give me a call, 718-617-4668.
Do you want to say that again?
Sure. Mm-hmm. 617-4668. Area code 718. That's Sustainable South Bronx, www.ssbx.org. Or you can call any of your local neighborhood groups, Mothers on the Move, South Bronx Clean Air Coalition, Action, Youth Organizers at the Point CDC. And we look forward to seeing you Saturday, November 22nd or Saturday, December 13th.
And Manuela from Sustainable South Bronx, thanks for joining us today.
You've been listening to 99.5 FM in New York City, the People's Peace and Justice Radio. We'll be right back.
We are thirsty. We need water. Could you imagine? Try to fathom world famine where food is rationed. Where fear and AIDS is the fashion. No one is laughing. Clean water is a luxury. When we die, what do we leave behind? No trees, no water that's clean. No air that we can breathe is free of pollution emissions. We don't do things to change our conditions. Instead, we fall into submission. Don't know the first thing about resisting or persistence. What will money get you when there is no food? Money is the evil that has us fooled. All evil money rules, till we admit we drink from plutonium pools. Living next door to stack pipes, filling with fumes, turning living rooms into living tombs. Shed a salty tear for the youth, because now it's up to you to demand from the people that rule to do what they gotta do to save Mother Nature. And soon, headed for generation contamination, no longer the X. Global warming next, Earth is the planet that's left. El Nino has Nino and causes disastrous effects. Gonna need Mad Max and the clan from Star Trek to fix what it is that has Mother Nature sick. We have to invent a new system, we have to resist them, we have to convince them to clean our water. Water. Clean our water. Stop the bombing, stop the hazards causing asthma. Stop putting dams up, let the water flow. Leave the oil in the ground, let it go. You're killing the world slow, but at this rate you never know. Yo, make solar powered cars, biodegradable jars. Give us crystal clean ponds, no trip to Mars. If it falls to the stars in a rocket ship, you probably crash into a satellite dish or a gas tank from the Apollo 6. So much garbage is sick, it's all a trick. We need to save Mother Nature, because she's sick. Water. Water. Let's clean the world.
Hi, this is Gil Scott Heron, unknown bluesologist, speaking to you on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. Stay here.
You were just listening to La Bruja Caridad de la Luz, a South Bronx native, actually formerly an environmental justice organizer at the Point CDC. That was the Water Song by La Bruja.